But sadly, even some born-again Christians are more interested in their own glory rather than God's glory. They got saved to make sure they have a reserved seat in heaven.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Last week, Pastor Brian Grant took us to 2 Timothy chapter 4, where we find the Apostle Paul warning young Timothy that the day would come when men, you can read, quote, Christians, end quote, would not endure sound doctrine. Sadly, in this day and age, when many pulpits have abandoned the unvarnished truth of the Bible for things that entertain, this warning seems especially pertinent. Yet there is hope of finishing strong, but it involves standing firm in the truth of God. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant concludes his message, Finishing Strong. Here again is Pastor Grant.
Mankind's primary purpose is to glorify God and enjoy fellowship with Him. Did you realize that's our primary purpose? To glorify God and to fellowship with Him. He says, I have redeemed you. I created you. I redeemed you. I call you. You are mine. And then verse 7 says this. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have what? I have created for what? For my glory. Why were we made? You can talk back to the preacher. Why were we made? We were made for God's glory. So add that to your notes. God created us for His glory. So let's pause a moment to ask ourselves this question. What is my biggest driver in life? Teenagers, I know you want to finish school. I know you want to finish college. I know you want to get that job. I know you're dreaming of marriage. But what is your biggest driver? Is it to bring glory to God? Might God challenge us even from a young age that we may make a total dedication to God, amen? And that we might recognize that we were made for God's glory. And listen, I achieve my purposes that God made for me when I make a commitment to pursuing God's glory. You see, we have it roundabout. We think we need to pursue our thing, and then perhaps along the line we will glorify God. No, we must, our focus must be to bring glory to God. And as we focus and bring glory to God, He will work out all the other details in our lives. I wish you could have a testimony time right now. But sadly, even some born-again Christians are more interested in their own glory rather than God's glory. They got saved to make sure they have a reserved seat in heaven. Am I right about that? Sometimes the only reason we are saved is to make sure we have a reserved seat in heaven. And we're looking forward to being with God, but we're not excited about fellowshipping with Him right now. But make no mistake, God created us for His glory and desires to have fellowship with us while we are here on earth. And after His salvation, Paul had experienced the thrill of fellowshipping with the living God. As you read the letters of Paul, that's what really sometimes hits you. How Paul, despite his drama, he had the journey of a lifetime because he was experiencing the thrill of fellowshipping with the living God. God was showing up daily in his life. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, he says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. You see that 2 Timothy, flip back, 2 Timothy 4, 6. for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Since some of us may not have heard about the drink offering, this is very significant. Sometimes when we do this verse, we just slide over it and we don't pause to find out, so what is this drink offering? It's very important for us to fully understand this text. So I want to take us back to the Old Testament for a moment to look at what this Old Testament sacrifice was all about. And so let's go to the book of Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Numbers chapter 28. We're not talking about addition now. It's actually a book in the Bible. All right? Numbers chapter 28. And we're going to just read verses 7 and 8. And here's how Numbers 28, 7 and 8 reads. And it's drink offering. You see the word right there? It's drink offering shall be 1/4 of a hin for each lamb. In a holy place you shall pour out the drink offering to the Lord as an offering. The other lamb you shall offer in the evening as the morning grain offering, and its drink offering you shall offer it as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. The drink offering, and I put this in your notes, the drink offering refers to a cup of wine a Jewish priest poured out beside the altar after the offering of a sacrifice in the temple. But get this, whereas parts of the other offerings were given to the priests, remember the priests could actually get from some of the other offerings, all of the drink offering was poured out before the Lord. You see the difference? The other sacrifices and offerings, the priests could get some of. But the drink offering was all for God. Here are two key takeaways I don't want you to leave this without. Unlike the other sacrifices, the drink offering was all for God. And Numbers 28:8, it emphasizes this. Look at verse number 8 one more time as it ends. It's a sweet aroma to the Lord. God got great pleasure and delight from the drink offering. Amen? So in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, when Paul said, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, he was rejoicing that he had given his all to God and that his service and dedication to God had brought delight and pleasure to the heart of God. You see how he, instead of him focusing on what he was getting, Paul was excited about what God was getting. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Paul was thrilled that God had gotten pleasure and delight from his life. But here's the second thing that I don't want us to miss about the drink offering. The drink offering came after the offering of the sacrifice. You can put that on the screen. The drink offering came after the offering of the sacrifice. Here's the key. The drink offering symbolized the end of the offering. When Paul said he was being poured out as a drink offering, he was telling us he knew he was about to die. There would be no release from prison. Paul was under no misconceptions. God had delivered him before, but Paul knew there would be no release from prison. That no matter how much hard prayer, and he could call for all the praying he wanted, this was it. Sometimes in our lives we are upset when we don't get what we want. But God, let God do what he wants to do, amen. And Paul knew this was God's plan. And so instead of being bent out of shape, Paul was excited. And he said, the time of my departure is at hand. And so instead of begging God for extra time, oh God, please give me another 6 months, another year. You know what I'll do if you give me another... No, Paul didn't do that. Instead, he shouted in triumph, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul was finishing strong. He had totally fulfilled God's purpose for his life. And may God help us that we may also fulfill God's purpose for our lives. Oh, I hope and pray that your desire and my desire is that we might fulfill God's purpose for our lives. Amen. That will be the focus. That will be the biggest driver in our lives. Not ourselves, but oh God, that our lives might be poured out to you as a drink offering, that you might get pleasure from our lives, and that God, at the end of the day, we might be able to say like the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course by the grace of God. I accomplished God's purpose for my life. Might that be true of us? First, to finish strong, we must hold fast to God's word. Second, to finish strong, we must pursue God's purposes. And third and finally for today, to finish strong, we must remember that God is holding us. We're back in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to go back and read again verses 16 to 18. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 16, where the Apostle Paul says, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. Verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let me put on the verse on the screen, a verse of scripture. You need not turn to it. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13. I want to put this on the screen for you. Isaiah 41, verse 13. And here's what the Word of God tells us in the New Living Translation. It goes this way. For I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you. This last section, some of what Paul says is designed for some of us who are going through drama. You're going through challenging times. It may be a health issue. It may be a family issue. It may be loneliness. No matter what it is, God wants to let you know today that no matter what's going on in our lives, we can finish strong because God is holding us. Amen? So he says in Isaiah, I hold you by your right hand, and I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you. Every born again believer in Jesus Christ can be confident of this, that no matter what challenge we may face, we can make it, for God is holding us. Oh, I hope you'll never forget that. I don't know what you're going through today. You may have family problems, problems with your children, problems on the job, problems with loneliness, and you wonder how you are going to make it. On the authority of the Word of God, I'm here to tell you that you can make it because God is holding you. Recently, I was blessed in a new way when an old Wine and Song, as we were traveling the Carolinas, one of the Wine and Song came on the playlist, and it's this little song, If God is for us, who can be against us? How many of you remember that song? You're old enough to know that song? I was so blessed by that song popping up at that time. If God is for us, who can be against us? As soon as we got to the hotel, I decided to pull the Bible and start reading the text where it comes from, Romans chapter 8, verse 31. And let's just go there for a moment. Romans 8. Because there's a little thing there that I had missed before. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. And it says here, here's how it reads. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Then here it goes. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I had to underline that. He who did not spare his own son, but he gave up his son for all of us. In light of that, here is the question Paul asked. How shall he not with him also? He's going to give us all things. You got it? So, add this to your notes. Since God delivered Jesus to die for us, we can be assured he will what? Freely give us all we need. He didn't tell you he's going to give you all you want. So don't go home now and say, God, you told me I'm going to give you all the one. I need that new Mercedes or that new house. It ain't in the Bible. He didn't say he's going to give you all you want. He's going to give you all you need. He's going to give me all I need. Amen. Since God delivered, he who did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely give us all things? Aren't you glad for that verse? Amen. Is that a reassuring verse? He will give us all we need. So despite the challenges he faced, Paul was finishing strong because he knew the omnipotent God was holding him and that God would give him all the strength he needed to finish strong. Perhaps right now you're dealing with a lot of drama in your life. Perhaps you have family drama, personal drama, financial drama, health drama. It doesn't matter. God wants you to know that if you put him at the center of your life, he will hold you. I speak to individuals and they sometimes make it clear they don't think that they can keep going. I can't manage. There's so much drama in my life. And I just want to keep us reminded that God wants you to know if you put him at the center of your life, he will hold you and he will give you all the help you need to finish strong. When my kids were small, we'd occasionally visit a home with a big, unfriendly dog. You know, there are some dogs that are bigger than the... Sometimes the dog was bigger than my little child. And they'd be so scared. You know what they would do when that big dog comes by? That they're scared? Who can guess? They jump into my arm! Because after all, just because you all don't think I'm big, they regarded me as tall. And they figured, if I jump into dad's hand, there is no way they're going to get me. And so they jumped into my hand, and I held them tight. And sometimes, it was so funny, because sometimes after they're in dad's hands, they will peek over and look at the dog. It's almost like they're looking at the dog and saying, I dare you to touch me now. Little did they know, their dad was sometimes very scared himself. But friend, our omnipotent God is not worried. All power is given to him. Listen, oh, I'm talking to folks
both here and listening to me online. I'm talking to some people, and I know in some cases you have all sorts of drama going on in your life, and there's stuff that's scaring you to death. But our God, He has all the power and the wisdom, because sometimes it does need power. Sometimes it's wisdom that is needed. God has all the power and the wisdom to handle every problem we will ever face. And today, He invites us to cast your burden on Him. Cast your anxieties on Him. Cast your fears on Him. Because He's holding us. May we never lose sight of this picture. God is holding me. And because God is holding me, I can stand. I can overcome. Because God is holding me. In that unforgettable 400-meter race in 1992. And by the way, this message is not a theoretical message. It's lived from experience. God is holding us. In that unforgettable 400-meter race in 1992, Derek Redmond was able to finish strong because he was leaning on his dad. And regardless of the challenges you are facing, God will help you to finish strong. He's holding us, but we must lean on Him. Today I'm going to invite you. We're going to have the praise team in a moment. I'll call them to come and sing for us. Perhaps there's somebody here this morning who wants to come for prayer because you're saying, God, there are issues in my life and I just need to hold on to you. I need you to hold on to me. I need your power. I need your help because by your grace, I want to finish strong. Perhaps there's somebody here. You're not sure you're saved. But listen, this all we're talking about only applies to those who are truly born again. I'm not talking about you went forward in a church service. I'm talking about real, for real, born again. Where you repented and turned from sin. You see, a lot of people ask the Lord to come into their heart and they think they're saved, but you can't be saved without repentance. Repentance where you're turning from sin and turning to God. He ain't coming into some dirty house. You gotta repent. You gotta turn from sin. And perhaps this morning you realize, I've never truly repented from sin and received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm going to ask you to do that right now because that's where it begins. It begins by becoming a child of God, one of those in whom His Spirit dwells. Would you do that right now? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I pray that in this quiet moment, you may work in some heart and that there'd be someone who say, Lord, I'm coming to you. Save souls today, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.